Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom or great peace have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So we are going to jump into his Torah. We're going to read a little portion here out of this week's Torah portion, and we're going to discuss that and see what wisdom we can gain from his word today as we hide his word within our hearts, as we apply it into our lives, and we follow his word, and in doing so, nothing will cause us to stumble. Our feet will be built upon a solid, firm foundation. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 6. It says, they shall be holy to their God. This is speaking of the priest, and not profane the name of their God, for they offer Yahweh's food offerings, the bread of their God. Therefore, they shall be holy. They shall not marry a prostitute or a woman who has been defiled. Neither shall they marry a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. You shall sanctify him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, Yahweh, who sanctify you, am holy. I'm going to go ahead and pause here. I'm not going to read through the whole chapter, but in this portion, what we're reading through in this passage is the instructions that Yahweh is giving towards the priest. Remember, the priest served as a function. They had a function that they served in for the children of Israel. They were the ones who were responsible, you would say, for drawing near unto God, for bringing the sacrifices to God, for the atoning of the sins of the children of Israel, for the burnt offerings, the thanksgiving offerings. So those things which would draw the children of Israel near unto God, they were responsible for bringing those offerings unto Yahweh. So he is telling them, since you are serving in this role, in this function, as a one who is drawing near unto me, there are going to be some special instructions or laws that was given unto them that was not given unto the rest of the camp or the children of Israel, because they bore the responsibility of drawing near unto God. He tells them, he says, for you shall be holy. The priest shall be holy, or he shall be set apart. Why? Because Yahweh is holy, or he is set apart. So what he is teaching them and what he is telling us is that he is set apart. He is holy. And those who want to draw near unto him need to draw near unto him in that set apartness. He talks about, I am the one who sanctifies you. Or you can say, I am the one who sets you apart. I am the one who purifies you, who cleanses you, who takes you who is defiled, and I make you undefiled. I make you worthy to be able to draw near unto me. See, we as humans, we have all sinned. We have all defiled ourselves. We are all unworthy to actually draw near unto God. You know, Peter tells us that we are a nation of priests. So as the priests, we're held to this higher standard. We as believers in Yeshua are a part of the priesthood. We are a holy priesthood, or we are a set apart priesthood. So just as the priest here in Leviticus was to be concerned about not defiling themselves. And we're going to read another passage here where he goes into more descriptions on things that would defile a priest and make them unworthy. But we need to be careful in our behavior, just as the priests had to be careful in their behavior, that they did not do anything that would defile them or make them unholy, where they would not be able to bring the offerings that they were to bring, because the offerings were to be brought in set apartness. So we as a set apart priesthood, as a holy priesthood, need to learn and know what are those things that defile us. What are the things of the world that are causing us to be unclean, so that we can get rid of our former behaviors, our behavior that is not set in set apartness, or his righteousness. Now remember, what is the thing that sets us apart from the world? It is his law. It is his Torah. When we walk in obedience to his instructions, to the law that he has given us, to walk in his righteousness, that sets us apart from the world. That is what makes us a set apart priesthood. But before we could ever walk in his Torah, in his righteousness, to be that set apart priesthood, we first must be sanctified by him. We have to be cleansed by the blood of Yeshua. So as we read and we see how the priests were to be holy, not only are we to look at this and apply this unto our lives of how we are to be this holy priesthood, but it also points to our high priest who came, who died upon that cross for us, who was without sin, who was not defiled, but was spotless and blameless. He walked in holiness. So let's look at verse 16. It says, "And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron, saying, None of your offspring throughout their generations who has a blemish may approach to offer the bread of his God. For no one who has a blemish shall draw near. A man blind or lame, or one who has a mutilated face or a limb too long, or a man who has an injured foot or an injured hand, or a hunchback, or a dwarf, or a man with a defect in his sight, or an itching disease, or scabs, or crushed testicles. No man of the offspring of Aaron, the priest, who has a blemish, shall come near to offer Yahweh's food offerings, since he has a blemish. He shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. He may eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy things, but he shall not go through the veil or approach the altar, because he has a blemish, that he may not profane my sanctuaries, for I am Yahweh who sanctifies them." So as we read further in the chapter here, we see that not only would a person's behavior or choices that they do cause a man to be defiled, by simply touching that which is unclean. And what is that which is unclean? Sin. Anything that is contrary to the Torah or the law of God is sin. It is unclean. And we are told not to touch that which is unclean. When we touch that which is unclean, we become defiled. That's what we learn in this passage and in this week's Torah portion, is the need to be aware, to be sober, to be vigilant, to be alert, aware of that which is unclean, that which would defile us, so that we will not touch those things which would defile us, but that we would remain, or we would stay in holiness or in set apartness. We also see here that a person would be deemed unworthy to approach because they had a defect in his body. Because that person who had the defect in his body was no longer holy or pure or clean. That which was to approach him was going to be that which was without blemish. And that is pointing to the fact that Yeshua would come and he would be the one who was without a blemish. There was nothing wrong with him. He was without blemish in his physical body, and he was without blemish when it came to his actions and what he did and in his behavior. He was without fault. He was the Holy One. And it took one who was holy, who was without blemish, in order to break the curse of sin off of our lives. It had to be one who was without sin, to lay down his life for us. And it needed to be him because the blood of bulls and goats cannot remove sin. It will not defeat sin in our lives. But Yeshua, being the one who was without defect, willingly laying down his life upon that cross, he is able to defeat sin in the lives of those who will believe in him. He will come and circumcise our hearts. He will put his spirit inside of us and put a desire in us to walk in his ways, to walk in his righteousness, giving us the strength in order to do it as well. He will guide us and help us along our journey as we learn what it means to walk in his law and in his righteousness and in his holiness. He causes that. He brings that forth in our lives when we truly surrender our hearts unto him. Then our hearts are able to go through this process and this journey with him. But because of his blood, as we go through this journey, we are able to draw near unto him in all boldness. And this is all made possible because he was the one who was without a blemish, without a defect. He was without sin. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. But when Messiah appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So first we see Messiah, when he died upon that cross, he entered into the holy place. But he didn't enter into the holy place here on earth. The temple that Moses built and that later Solomon would build was a copy of that which was in the heavens. And the one which was in the heavens was the perfect tent. It was not made of this creation or with man's hands. See, man's hands are not perfect. We are corrupt. But the tent in the heavenlies was created by God, the one who is holy and set apart and perfect. He created that tent, making it the more perfect tent. He went into that holy place with his blood, and he secured eternal redemption for anyone who would believe in him. What is redemption? Redemption meaning that he bought us. Redemption speaks of a purchase made. We are all born into sin. We are all born under the power of sin, or you could say we are born as a slave unto sin. Sin, or you could say the devil, owned us. It had every right unto us. And because he owned us, he had every right to bring any kind of curse, any kind of destruction, and any kind of harm into our lives. And most importantly, we were doomed or destined to serve eternity in hell, serving Satan himself. But when we put our belief in Yeshua, when we believe that he was the one who was without sin, the one without a blemish, who lived a perfect life, who was the Son of God, died upon that cross, rose on the third day, and we put our belief in his blood, believing that by his blood, all of our sins are washed away. They are covered. They are atoned for. And because of what he has done, when God looks at us, he does not see our sin, but he sees the blood of Yeshua. and he has bought us. To those who believe in Yeshua, he has bought us. So no longer are we under the power of sin. No longer do we serve sin. No longer does Satan have a right unto us. But we are now under the authority of God. And we serve him, which means we walk in his righteousness. We are obedient unto his word, unto his law, to walk in that which is set apart, to not be defiled, to not defile ourselves anymore. He has cleansed us for us to walk in that which is clean, not for us to continue in our uncleanness. He has purified our conscience by his blood from dead works. Or what is dead works? That is works of the flesh. That is when we were obedient unto our flesh, the desires of our flesh, instead of being obedient unto the word of God, to his law and his Torah. He has cleansed our conscience from those dead works, so that we may now serve the living God. How do we serve God? It is very simple. We serve him by walking in his commands, by walking in his ways, by walking just as Yeshua walked, by being obedient unto his word. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We are called to be a living sacrifice. That's another way of saying to serve the living God. We are a living sacrifice by walking in obedience to his word. When we walk in obedience to his word, that is how we serve our living God. Let's look at verse 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua Messiah once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Messiah had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemy should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then, he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. So Messiah died once and for all, a single offering. He has perfected all of us who would believe in him by that one act of obedience on the cross. We no longer need a sacrifice for sin. All we have to do is look to what Yeshua did for us upon that cross. And he is perfecting us by his Spirit, working in us as we are being sanctified. How are we being sanctified? This is speaking of a process of learning and walking out being set apart, being different than the world, not walking in conformity unto the world, but being transformed into the image of Yeshua, or walking just as Yeshua walked, being transformed into a person who walks in obedience unto the word of God, unto his law and his Torah. That is what we are being transformed into, a person who loves his law, has a desire to do his law, and does his law. And he tells us, what is the covenant he made with us? That he would put his law or his Torah upon our hearts and upon our minds. Why does he do that? Because he wants us to walk in his law, in his Torah. So he puts it on our hearts and upon our minds. And he says, I will remember your sins and lawless deeds no more. Hallelujah. That is the faithfulness, that is the promise that we have by putting our belief in Yeshua and having a heart and a desire to walk with him and to serve him and to do that which is pleasing unto him as we seek to be transformed into his image, and we reject the idea of being conformed unto this world. Now let's look at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Yeshua, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So here, the writer of Hebrews is telling us, we now should come with confidence into the holy place because of the blood of Yeshua. Remember, as we read in Leviticus, those who had a defect, those who were unclean, those who had defiled themselves by touching that which was unclean, that person wasn't able to enter the holy place. But now we who are sinners, who were sinners, who broke his law, who broke his commandments, who were defiled, who were not perfect, we were not without blemish, but because of the blood of Yeshua, we can have confidence and we can boldly enter into the holy place, into the place where which that which was defiled could not enter into, because of his blood. So we can draw near in boldness with a true heart. It all starts in our hearts. Our hearts have to be true. Our hearts have to be faithful. It has to be one heart desiring to serve Yahweh, to walk in his ways, to be obedient to his commands. We cannot have a divided heart, but we need a true heart. And in that true heart, and having our hearts cleansed from that evil conscience, having that new heart placed inside of us that has a desire to walk in his ways, and his spirit living inside of us, guiding us and empowering us to do that. It all starts in our hearts. Now let's look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So what should we as believers be doing now? Holding fast the confession of our hope, okay, believing for our second redemption that is coming. We have experienced our first redemption from sin, but we will experience a second redemption where we are called from this sinful world and we get to live with him for eternity. So as we are holding on to this confession of the hope that is to come, let us stir up one another to love and good work. So let's encourage each other. Let's provoke each other to walk in love and good works, or in obedience to his word, in obedience to his Torah, to his law. Let us stir one another up to walk in set apartness, to be transformed into the image of Yeshua, and to reject conformity unto this world. That is what we as believers should be doing for one another. We should encourage one another, but let's not encourage one another in the manner in which we're beating people up because they are not doing things exactly the way we think they should be doing them. We need to learn how to lovingly encourage people in that which is right. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he has sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So here we see, Yahweh will judge his people. We will all have to take account for what we did. And so for the one who deliberately sins, you may profess that you have a belief in Yeshua. You may believe that by his blood that you are cleansed of all of your sin. And if you take the stance that because he has forgiven you of all of your sins, you can continue to walk in your former behaviors. You can continue to walk in conformity to this world and reject being transformed into the image of Yeshua. When you reject his law, when you reject the instructions in the Torah that he has given us to walk in, and you decide that you're going to walk in your own ways and do what you want to do and be conformed unto this world, then you are deliberately walking in sin. And even though you may say you profess to believe in Yeshua, you are in a spot when there no longer remains a sacrifice for your sins, meaning his blood is not going to atone for your sins. So what is the answer for that person? What is that person supposed to do? Simple, repent. Turn from the deliberate sin. Turn from the desire to walk as the world walked and choose to be transformed into the image of Yeshua. Choose to walk in obedience to his word and to stop deliberately sinning. Sinning is transgression of the law. Okay. It's interesting that in this passage is where he says, "Vengeance is mine and I will repay." Vengeance is his upon those who deliberately walk in sin and trample underfoot the Son of God. He says that we profane the blood of the covenant when we deliberately walk in sin. When we deliberately choose to blend in with the world instead of being holy, instead of being set apart as he is set apart, we trample upon the blood of Yeshua. We profane his blood. We defile it. So no longer is his blood able to provide a cleansing unto that person. They must repent of their rebellion, because that is what it is. It is rebellion. And as verse 31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a good thing to have a healthy fear of God, a respect to know that we will stand before him to give account for what we have done. So if we choose to reject his law, if we choose to reject being transformed into the image of Yeshua and choosing to be set apart by walking in obedience to his law, if we reject that and instead we choose to be conformed into this world, to act like this world, to talk like this world, and to be like this world, then what is going to happen? We are going to have to take account for that. We are going to be judged for that. And it is a fearful thing to have to be judged and to fall into the hands of a living God who would take vengeance upon us because we have profaned the blood of his son. So with that said, I just want to encourage you to be set apart, to be holy as he is holy. That is what this portion is about as we read through this first chapter, and the next chapter talks about the offering and how the offering had to be set apart. Yahweh is set apart. There is none like unto him. And to draw near unto him, we have to be cleansed of all that has defiled us, all that has made us unclean. So we accept Yeshua as our Messiah. He cleanses us. He gets rid of those things that has defiled us. He makes us worthy to draw near unto God. But we also have a purpose. We also have a role that we have to play, and that is we have to choose to walk in that which is holy and reject that which would defile us. So let's be holy as he is holy. Well, hallelujah. I hope that this has blessed you. We will be back again next week with another teaching from next week's Torah portion. So just want to encourage you to come back and join us for next week's teaching. So come back and shalom, y'all.